also with me in the book of Isaiah.
Thank you, Juan.
Juan, I really appreciate all the hard work you've done today. He has not stopped. All right. This morning, I want to begin a short series. It'll go 5 weeks, obviously. And these messages are designed to encourage you and to challenge you for the future of the church. The title of this message is Fear Can Cripple Your Church, if you let. And I hope that the message today will move you out of the realm of anxiety and fear and trust God. Follow along as I read verses 10 to 14 of Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah begins with what this message is about. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, and yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, shall not find them, even them that are contented with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Let's pray. Father, oh, how our churches need this encouragement as we go through difficult, trying times, that you have promised that you would never leave us, you'd never forsake us. May this be, Father, imprinted on the soul of every member here for the future. In Jesus' name, amen. It is a tragic thing that we've been hearing about, how the lives of dozens and dozens of people have perished in the floods in Texas, especially at the Christian summer camp Mystic. Most of them, sadly, were little girls, young girls. As I mentioned during the prayer, we know that 129 perished, and there's still 160 missing. We are hit in the face with the cold reminder that we are truly living in a fallen world. It is a world of tragedy. It is a world of pain. It is a world of heartache. But our God of the Bible has never hid that fact. What we need to keep our eyes on is that there's a new world coming where there will be sickness and death no more. Our hearts are broken alongside the families that are enduring this unimaginable tragedy. And this tragedy has spawned another fear. Just as the devil used the COVID pandemic to wreak fear and havoc throughout our land and in our churches, so that so many of them closed and many of them are living on meager fare. The devil is doing all he can to destroy the United States of America and the Church of Jesus Christ, for they are the two entities standing in the way of a one world government and a one world church and a one world dictator. And I would hope by now that you've been educated in the book of Revelation to know what the future holds. When we hear of these tragedies, be warned that Jesus said there will be pestilence, earthquakes, violence. It is not the end. He declared this period of time the time of sorrows. And isn't that what we're experiencing? Disaster after disaster, war after war, unimaginable death in the Ukraine, both Ukrainian soldiers and Russian soldiers. To what avail? God forgive us to fight over a little piece of parcel. Satan is very busy now trying to destroy Christian camps. I've studied about Christian camps. For many years now, they have been like the heartbeat of America for churches. Young people go there, make friends for life. They get saved. They're born again. They go back to the church. They're on fire. Fear has spawned now because of the tragedy in Texas. Just give you one case in point. A mother by the name of Dana Riley. She's a mother of two young children. They live in Des Moines, Iowa. Her 11-year-old daughter is currently away at a two-week camp in Minnesota. She said, and I quote, "I am definitely more nervous and fearful than I ever was before." And I wonder how many parents now will not send their children to a Christian camp. The devil knows that thousands upon thousands of young people have gone to these camps and it has changed their lives forever. My wife and I, when we were just young adults, were involved in a camp in New Jersey called Halawasa. And we saw young people get saved and turn their lives around and come back to the local church. And the church was on fire because of the youth infused the church with excitement. Satan doesn't want that. And so now he's unleashed the tragedy that if we are not mindful, that that's how the devil works. It will impede these Christian camps. You know, we do live in fearful times and fear has become, as it were, a part of our lives, and it was proliferated during COVID. Beware of fear being pushed upon you, because now we're looking back at those Georgonian, I think that's the word, right? Big, out of the ordinary rules and regulations. And we look back and we say, you know, most of those were necessary. If you look at the end of the pews, you'll see the little hook. Let that be a reminder to you that we had to space the pews off 6 feet, which was ridiculous, because now they're saying those in the mass really did nothing. And yet we lived with fear. People still have not come back to church. And some are afraid and they'll only come on an occasion. Fear affects us. We have the recent tensions on a global scale in the Middle East. And while that was happening, many were advocating it had the potential of evolving into a third world war. Interesting how we think the worst. We ought to be praying for the best. This kind of fear can become crippling. That's not what God wants for you. It's not what God wants for his church. And I am preaching this sermon because I understand on our local level that there is some fear of your pastor retiring and the fear of acquiring another pastor. I would encourage you to be aware of this kind of fear. As I mentioned earlier, I am but an under-shepherd. No one should have been coming to this church for Pastor Bacino, but for the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus. Jesus said in Luke 12:32, "Fear not, little flock," and you are a little flock in the church of Jesus Christ. "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Christ is in the business of kingdom building, and he wants to use you. But fear will show a lack of faith. And if that happens, that will affect us. Did you know that there are more than 1,000 different kinds of human phobia or fears? Some of them are kind of interesting. I never knew they exist. I'll just give you one example. Have you heard of Rachibutra? Anybody know what that is? I had no clue, so I looked it up. It is the fear of peanut butter sticking to the root of one's mouth and they can't speak. It's like unreal. But all of us, both men, women, children, and even the best of Christians, can have fears. Officially, about 8% of adults suffer from one or more types of phobias. And the nature of these disorders reflect the landscape of our 21st century lifestyle. But as Christians, we can overcome any fear. And I hope that this message helps you. There are times in our lives that we will face fear, but fear is not something that should be easily accepted in the life of the Christian. Why? Because God is our Father. He is the source of all of our resources, and Jesus is our true shepherd. When you read the 5th chapter of the 1st epistle to Peter, Peter writes as a pastor to other pastors, and he reminds them that we are but under shepherds. We serve under the chief shepherd, and he will never, never lose his flock. If one goes astray, he leaves the 99 to go find the lost sheep. I want you to remember that when you become maybe disillusioned over whether you'll have a pastor. The only fear that God encourages in the life of a believer is found in Hebrews 10, verse 31. It says, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Over and over again, Jesus said, "Don't be afraid of those who could kill your body. You need to be more fearful of who owns your soul." Amen. In Matthew 10:28, the Lord Jesus said, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell." And that is the only fear that I understand that the Bible teaches us, other than natural fears. A natural fear of falling, things of that nature. But fear is one of the weapons in Satan's arsenals, and he uses it to shut down the churches. That's why the Lord has said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." And then in John 14:27, let not your heart be troubled. God loves you. He loves this church. And you need to stand on what God has done in the past, because he can do even greater things in the future. He's kept this church for over 2.5 centuries. To be controlled by fear would mean that we do not have faith or perfect love. Where'd you get that, Pastor? Good question. It's actually from the Bible. 1 John 4:8 says, there is no fear in love. Do you believe that God loves you? That he loves you unconditionally? The verse goes on to say, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Fear can cripple your faith. Fear will cripple your church if you let it. Time and time again, the Lord has tenderly spoken these reassuring words, do not fear, fear not. Over and over, 85 times in 75 verses in the New Testament, we have the Lord, God Almighty, and his Son speaking to us and through his disciples, fear not. You know, the world can be strange and harsh, but this world is not your home. Our home is in heaven. And for a short time, compared to eternity, it'll be here for 1,000 years. Knowing this truth, we can boldly say, as the writer of Hebrews, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. I will not fear what man shall do to me. Isaiah 41:10 is a verse that I've used throughout my ministry to encourage people to look to God in the most difficult times of their lives. Because God has promised to uphold his people with his righteous right hand. We see God's hand holding our hand. That gives strength. That takes away doubt. That takes away fear. He said, for I, the Lord, your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not. I will help you. Think about that when you've lost a loved one. Think about that if you lost your worldly possessions, like many of the families there around the Guadalupe River, when that flood came rushing through. In Isaiah, verse 14, it speaks about a relationship that God has with Israel. I always want to take the passage and put it within the context of which it was written. Oftentimes we pull verses out that sound good for a sermon. But we need to be truthful to the text. God was relating to Israel that he would deal with their enemies if they would keep their trust in him. He promised that he would fight all of their battles. He knows how to make and break our adversaries. And it is he that can make them ashamed. It is he, as it says there, can put them down. God fights our battles for us when, by faith, we turn to him. He said, behold, all those who were incest against you shall be ashamed, and not only ashamed, but in the text he says, disgraced. Then in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, we recognize that God is fulfilling the promise that he gave to Abraham for Abraham's descendants, Remember that? He said, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And God has always crushed anti-Semitic nations and movements. We recently saw Israel in a 12-day war against the most anti-Semitic nation on the face of the earth. And in 12 days, God gave Israel the power to destroy her capability to attack any nation in the Middle East. And I thank God that he used us to assist the Israelis. Why? Because God said, I'll bless those that bless you. And I think about sometimes in the past, God wasn't blessing us so much because we were actually helping the enemy. You know, a great example of the effects of fear is the reaction of the Israelites when they were trapped by Pharaoh during the Exodus. Remember that? Kind of like God was taking them in a cul-de-sac. But God had a reason for that. And when the Israelites left Egypt, God tells Moses to travel in circles so Pharaoh will think they are entangled in the land. The wilderness is on one side and shutting them in, and the Red Sea's on the other. And so what did Pharaoh do? Ha ha! I got them right where I want them. No, God had them right where he wanted them. God used his, the nature that he created to swallow the Egyptian army up into the Red Sea. When the Israelites looked up and they saw Pharaoh's army approaching from the west, what was their response? Fear. Fear began to cripple their faith. The Israelites had already witnessed God working in their behalf. Remember the 10 plagues? They should have said, God's got us. He's got our back. They want to know at this point why Moses brought them out of Egypt and accuses Moses of Aaron to bring them into the desert so they could die. You kind of wonder why God honored his promise, because there were still a faithful few. God destroyed that Egyptian army. And so to alleviate fear, we have to have complete faith in God. And I know that's hard, because there's times you're wondering, why is God doing this? What do you fear right now? Is it getting older? Is it declining health? Maybe for some, not able to pay your bills on time, and you've gotten into this mode where you're robbing Peter to pay Paul. You know, someone once wrote, fear is false evidence appearing real. Fear is false evidence appearing to be real. Someone once said we're only born with two types of fear. I mentioned one of them, the fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. All other fears are learned. So if they're learned, they can be what? Unlearned. And when we cast those fears upon the Lord, he'll take them from us. You know, most fear, you think about it, okay? I want you to go home and think about this for a few minutes, because I've done this. Most fear is the fear of the unknown. And out of that comes anxiety. And I know, because I'm experiencing a little bit of that myself. I'm transitioning, my wife and I, into a new period of our life. Part of it has to do with a fixed income. So you begin to have a fear of the unknown. But if we look back and we say, wait a minute, God has never left us. God has never forsaken us. God has always provided for us. That alleviates fear. The secret to alleviate it is found in the Bible. 2 Timothy 1:7, I would give you that as a verse to memorize. When our faith is placed in our God who loves us, he can eradicate fear. Go to 2 Timothy 1. Many of you know it, but go there anyway, 2 Timothy. And verse 7. And I'm almost done. Everybody got it? What's it say? God, who is God, is a spirit. He's also our Father. He has not given us the spirit of fear. You ought to need to say that over and over in your mind when you start fearing the unknown. You know what? God's not given me the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound what? Mind. This literally means that God gives us self-discipline and self-control. We don't get hysterical or become paralyzed by fear when serious situations come. Over and over again, I told you from Proverbs, trust the Lord with what? All your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your path. Proverbs 3:5-6. You know, it is the Holy Spirit enables us to keep cool heads when the giant fear comes in to our lives. Remember God's power and claim God's promises. God's power. He has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. Remember that in his promises. I'll never what, leave you. I'll never forsake you. You are my little flock. May I suggest that if we do have a fear of a particular thing, that we replace it with a promise that's in the Bible. The Bible has a perfectly matched promise for any fear that you have. Therefore, find the Bible promise and God will help you to expel that fear. Memorize it. One of my big fears was enrolling in the Philadelphia College of the Bible. I had no money to pay the tuition. I barely got transportation to get there. You remember that, Lynn? I mean, the car wasn't running on all cylinders. But I stepped out on faith, and never once did God ever fail. And I look back and I'm wondering how I ever got a degree from the college and the university. The Bible will comfort you. The Bible will give you guidance, and it will give you that perfect verse. God did it for me, Proverbs 3:5-6. We have to close. I know that the church cannot help having some anxiety waiting on another pastor. But don't let it cripple you. Be proactive. Keep doing the things you've been doing. Amen. Serve the Lord. And remember, the under shepherd might not be here, but the chief shepherd is. Let's have our heads bowed. Eyes closed. Father, I just pray that you'll do what I can. And that you'll comfort. You'll challenge. You'll take away grave concerns, knowing that you, our God, has made these promises to your church. Now, Lord, as we are dismissed from this place, Bless our meeting to come with the pulpit committee. And Father, bring us back to be here to encourage our dear sister in the Lord, Denise. We give you the praise for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your songbook and open to 492, Leaning on the Everlasting Arm. We'll just do the first stanza and be dismissed.